Good evening, everybody. My name is Shelley, and I want to thank you all for the opportunity to share my story of how God used death to reveal himself, to draw me close to him and prove that I could trust him ultimately and save my life. The morning of April 25th, 2013 began like every other work day before. The alarm went off at 6 a.m. My husband, Brian, got up and made the coffee. I decided I wasn't feeling well, so I decided to call in sick at the school where I worked. As I settled into my comfy chair, he brought me my coffee like he always did. We sat and talked, and he informed me that he was going to go and finish up the last of the cleanup on the job that he had just completed. He had owned his own construction company and had just finished a major remodeling of our neighbor's house just a few lots down from ours. Before I proceed with how this day unfolded, I should give you a little background. Brian and I had just celebrated a milestone of 25 years of marriage 8 months prior. We had 3 grown children, 2 sons and a daughter, and although we met and married in Dallas, we left in 1991 and moved to a small town in East Texas to raise our family. We both were Christ believers and started going to the Baptist church in the town we lived. There weren't many choices in a town with a population of about 2,500, but it was the only one with a strong children and youth ministry, which was important to us. We went to church most every Sunday, and we both even served in the youth ministry once our kids reached the appropriate ages. But that was about the extent of our relationship with God. We never read the Bible, and I only prayed when I was desperate for something. I'd been saved at the age of 12 and baptized at 15, but it wasn't anything other than going through the motions. As best I could, I did believe that Jesus had paid the price on the cross for all my sins, and I understood that my salvation was a free gift, and all I had to do was claim it for myself. And there was nothing I could do to earn or deserve it. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There were times throughout those years that I felt closer to God, but for the most part, I had no real understanding or idea of his love, his character, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, or grace. Just all church talk to me. In 2010, the deacons at our church decided to let the pastor go. It wasn't pretty, and I got angry. I allowed my anger at these men to cause me to quit attending the church we'd raised our children in and been members of for over 15 years. I vowed to never go back, and I didn't. So now we are back. 3 years later, to this beautiful morning in April 2013. Brian left the house, only to return 15 minutes later, informing me that his truck was stuck and he was going to take my truck to pull us out. Another 15 minutes later, and he's back again. His truck won't budge. So he decides he's going to take the tractor and make another attempt. I remember vividly watching him from the corner of my eye as I settled back into my chair as he drove off riding that tractor. Shortly thereafter, the man that worked for Brian came running into my house, screaming for me to call 911. He was, I thought, out of his mind. He just kept saying, "It's bad, Shelley, it's bad. Call 911, call 911. I fumbled for the phone and made the call. I couldn't even tell them what the emergency was because he couldn't or wouldn't tell me. He was that distraught. He threw me in his car and drove me down the street. Once there, he said he couldn't go back down there. So I got out of the car and began to walk toward the back of the house, which faced the lake. Once I got to the crest of the small hill and looked down, I froze. What I saw didn't seem real. From that moment on, it seemed I was in a very bad dream. What I did see was the tractor upside down and my husband laying motionless and pinned underneath it. I began to slowly walk towards him, my mind racing, trying to comprehend the reality of what my eyes were seeing. When I reached him, I knelt down beside him and tried to find a pulse. There wasn't one, and based upon the injuries I witnessed, I knew he was gone. I lay down beside him and just began to tell him how much I loved him. I don't know how long I laid there, but finally my neighbor, who was a nurse, showed up, and she confirmed my worst nightmare. He was gone. EMS had a hard time finding us, and we had about an hour of just sitting there. The shock had completely taken me over, and making those three phone calls to each of our children was heart-wrenching. Add to that, I immediately went into a panic. Brian didn't have life insurance, and we'd just refinanced our house, purchased another home in Houston, bought 5 acres of land to develop, and another lake lot. All I could think was, how am I going to deal with all of this? After the memorial service and everyone left, I was all alone. And that's when God began to speak to me. Faint whispers at first, telling me to trust him. I opened my Bible for the first time in years and just began to read. What happened over the course of the next few months was what God did to show me that he was indeed with me, and he was working everything out. He sent people to me to buy all my husband's business equipment. Another purchased the house in Houston, and I was trying to work out an arrangement with the bank regarding my mortgage when the Lord sent a buyer. All this was done in 4 months' time. I've tried to describe many times what I felt like during that 4 months, and it's hard to put accurately into words. The closest I can come is this. God was giving me daily doses of what felt like adrenaline. He was supplying me with the strength, the mental energy, and focus that I needed to do what needed to be done in a very short time frame. In the evenings, I would spend time in the Bible, looking specifically for scripture that would reassure me of what God's promises were. A few that I literally clung to were Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those that are crushed in spirit." And Isaiah 46:4, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." Then one night, I found this, Isaiah 54:5-6. "For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your redeemer. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit." Being a new widow and reading those words, I felt like God was speaking directly to me, and this brought immense comfort. With the house sold, my kids and I loaded up the U-Haul, and I moved back to Dallas. Left my job at the school of over 14 years, the only home my kids had ever known, and began the next chapter. Within a month of being back in Dallas, I began to feel this sense of urgency regarding my identity. You see, up to this point, I'd found my sense of worthiness in being a wife and mother. I knew I'd always be a mother, but I began to think I had to find another husband because that's where I found my sense of security and safety. Welcome to the world of online dating. I had no clue what I was doing. I just knew that I was no longer a young woman, and the thought of living out the rest of my life as a widow was not an option. God would let me go at this for about a year, and all it brought me was even more pain and a lot of shame. I didn't realize at the time how God was changing my heart. He had created a thirst for his word, And through that increased knowledge and understanding, I couldn't argue with it or justify what I was doing. I'm so thankful for all the things the Holy Spirit does, especially for the conviction of sin. I can't tell you how many times I would cry out to God, "I'm sorry, Father, I have dishonored your great name again." But with each confession of sin, he was always faithful and just to forgive. And with each confession, my ability to resist temptation and the desire to please my Lord over my earthly desires was growing strong. During the same time, I started going to a church close by. I went there for 8 months, and one day I realized I don't know anybody here, and I was starving to make new Christian friends. In May of 2014, my daughter graduated from college and got a job at Baylor. My best friend was moving to Dallas, and we were going to be roomies. I was elated, to say the least. One day she came home from work and said a coworker had invited her to Watermark, asked if I wanted to go too. Perfect, I thought. I won't have to go alone. I'd heard of Watermark, but all I knew was that it was pretty big, and that was really scary to me. On June 1st, 2014, we attended the 11:15 service, and when we both walked out, we looked at each other and said, "This is our new home." I jumped in with both feet, and immediately after becoming a member, saw an invitation to attend the upcoming session of something called Grief Share. I couldn't wait to get there. I thought, at last, I would meet people who would understand me because we had experienced the loss of a loved one. I've never been so right. It was the beginning of a whole new awareness of just who God is. Upon completing the session, God immediately placed a desire in my heart to serve in this ministry, but I didn't feel qualified yet. So I decided that regeneration was next. And while that ministry takes a year to complete, towards the end, I got my dream job of being a flight attendant. I loved it very much, but within 6 months, it began to lose its appeal. You see, it took me away from my church, my community group, and the ability to serve in areas I thought were important. But the Lord did use those 2 years to draw me even closer to him and deepen my trust in him. I really depended on him for everything. During that time, I would watch the live stream of the Sunday services from various hotel rooms on my layovers and had a lot of what I call just me and God time. It was the sweetest time of fellowship. Again, he was preparing me for the next step in my journey. In July of this year, I grounded myself and left my job of flying. The Lord said, "It is time to go back now." This session of Grief Share is my first in serving in a leader role. It's been 3.5 years since I first discovered this ministry and God placed a call in my heart. There's probably some of you sitting in this room right now that God is calling. All you have to do is trust and follow him. You see, God allowed my heart to be shattered into pieces because his plan was to put it back together, completely redeemed, forever changed, and to be used for his glory. It's been even more beautiful than I could have ever envisioned. Every promise of Scripture is a letter from God, which we may plead before him with this reasonable request. Do as you promised. Our Creator will never cheat those of us of his creation who depend upon his truth. And even more, our Heavenly Father will never break his word to his own children. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. Psalm 119:49. I hope I haven't bored you with too many details. There was a lot that I had to leave out, but my intent was to emphasize, deeply emphasize, the loving patience of God. I made a lot of mistakes that first year or two, trying to fill a void in my life that only the Lord could fill. But through it all, I never let go of him, and he's never let go of me. Turning your grief into gratitude is not something that happens overnight. It takes mindfulness to find the gratitude in grieving. A couple months after Brian's death, I began a journal of what I deemed were blessings from God. It started with some pretty big things, but there were also small things, like the fact that I managed to get up on time for work. Finding gratitude for the small and simple things is necessary in the beginning of loss and they are still necessary now. Sometimes I go back and read over the many, many pages of things that I found in my day-to-day to be grateful for. One of my biggest blessings is here tonight. After over 30 years, of very little communication or interaction, the Lord has healed and restored my relationship with my earthly father. We are now very, very close and share a bond that will never be broken. What a precious gift from the Lord he has been in my life these past 4 years. You see, God not only restored my relationship with him, my heavenly father, but he also healed the relationship with my earthly father as well. When we start to focus our energy on what we have and what we are grateful for, it is much harder to put energy into the things we don't have or what we are missing at that time. Grief and gratitude is like a river, ever flowing and ever changing. Losing someone you love deeply is the most difficult thing in this life for our hearts and our minds to endure, much less know how to navigate through. It saddens me deeply to think about people who are trying to do this on their own without the hope of Christ. Thankfully, our God knows about loss and sacrifice and uses the gift of loss. Yes, I said gift of loss, to bring healing, hope, and a life transformed. My life now resembles very little of my life before Brian died. I lovingly call the day he left the worst and best day of my life. I pray you understand its meaning. Thank you, and may God richly bless you, encourage you, and comfort you on your personal journey through grief.